This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let's have some fun. Three more hours. Yogi Berra would say it's like deja vu all over again. Live Bet Sunday this go-around with myself, Joe Serallo, here with you, as I just mentioned, for the next 3 hours on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great job by Matt Brown leading into it. He got your day started with all the live action, and there is plenty of it going on right now. So we're going to keep it rolling through this heavy baseball slate. And the game that I am paying attention to, that I am in on, and you can get in on too, if you so desire, north of the border, it's the Blue Jays and the Yankees. And a guy at a pretty plus price, who I still like to be your AL Cy Young Award winner, Dylan Cease, about plus 150, plus 160, depending on the shop. And we'll get into that awards race and that market more as the show progresses. I do think Cease is the play over Cam Schlittler in that market. But Toronto right now, as Cease is out there, and he blew an opportunity with a walk there. He was battling early, had, I want to say, like 42 pitches through maybe 2 1/3. It wasn't that pretty early on. And now top of the sixth, he's at 89 pitches. That walk, if he got that the three hitter out for the Yankees, would have been a nice opportunity to maybe give him a shot to go seven here. Now let's see what he does against Grisham. He just threw his 90th pitch, 1-1 count, top of the sixth, one on, two dead. But Toronto, minus 110 on the money line, at least on the prediction market I'm looking at right now. Yankees plus 105 there. It's what's readily available at your disposal. So we'll see if Cease can get Grisham out. I mean, he's still pumping 98 in the top of the sixth on his 91st pitch of the day. If he can get him out quickly, maybe at 92, 93 pitches, you consider sending him out there for the top of the seventh. But a lot of my handicap on this one, and this was my big bet of the day, was the starting pitching matchup, Cease versus Ryan Weathers. And Cease at home against the Yankees, it's, I believe, 2-0 against Cease this year. Not sure if he took the loss in each of those, but they've gotten to him moderately, you know, starts like 5-6 innings, 3 runs, nothing crazy, but, you know, still respectable off a guy who is right now top two in what's a 2-pony race for the American League Cy Young. So we're all in and invested on this Trent Grisham at bat. The New York Mets also on my screen right now as I've got the quad box working. By the way, we are not far from Octobox territory, so I hope you guys get excited. We are not far at all from the NFL season, but I've got the MLB quad box on right now, and Mets just took the lead over the Nationals. They've been a great bet. They've been a piping hot team since the trade deadline. They are, 8-3 since the deadline with yesterday's comeback walk-off win against the Nationals. Now they're going for the sweep here, and again, fell behind early. Find themselves up 3-2, bottom of the fifth. They had first and second, none out. Double play put the runner on third, but there are two outs now for Jared Young, who I hope they don't buy into in the future. He's had a very nice season this year and what's been a really down year for the Mets. They brought in Jorge Polanco to play first, and Jared Young has been getting the bulk of the time at first base. He's done very well, but he's 30, and he delivers again. This is going to be an RBI double down the line and right. So the Mets are about to take a 4-2 lead over the Nationals. And I'm sure in typical David Stern style, whenever the lockout ends, Jared Young will be the budget first baseman for the Mets and will not perform as well as he has this year in a really down year for the organization. By the way, Lindor scored on that. He's been piping hot. Anyone who was thinking Lindor should have, would have gotten traded at the deadline, I'm sorry, you don't know baseball. And it's not a matter of, oh, you could get a haul for him. You know, how many times do these hauls not pan out? Maybe you're lucky you get one guy who's 3/4 as good as Lindor in a 4-guy package. But Francisco Lindor, since he came back from his injury, since the All-Star break, one of the hottest players in baseball, an OPS north of 930. Trading him would be asinine. It would be nuts. It would be frankly idiotic. So Mets up again, 4-2 here. Dylan Cease strikes out Trent Grisham. He's through six on... Let's check the pitch count. That's not the ESPN app. That's the American Airlines app. Not going to do me much good right now looking for Dylan Cease's pitch count, unless I want to hop a flight to Toronto to catch his next start. Let's see where the Cy Young hopeful is at. 94 pitches through six. His day might be done. One hit, one earned run, but only one hit. Three walks. I believe the runs who scored was a walk. And nine strikeouts. So six innings of one hit ball. I mean, that whip is getting lower. The ERA down to 2.36. Guy's a dog. He's better than Schlittler to me, especially when you look at the second half production. Where's Schlittler at this second half? We've seen some regression, which, I spoke about this yesterday with the Chicago Bears. We'll talk more NFL futures as the show rolls on. I hate the word regression. Sometimes it's necessary to use it, but it gets so overused. It's like that top 40 song that gets overplayed on the radio, right? In this industry, even on this network, people love the word regression. We hear regression, regression, regression. Regression oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes it's just a way to save face when a pundit goes out there, makes a prediction, and someone exceeds their prediction or overperforms what they expected. And then they say, oh, well, they're due for regression because they can't just admit that they were wrong about someone, right? So I hate the word regression, but there are times where it's appropriate and where it's necessary. And when you have someone who started the year like Schlittler, who was, 5-6-1 with a 1.3 ERA, like that was never sustainable. That was May 15th. He was 6-1 with a 1.35 ERA. And even going into June 1st, he was 7-2 with a 1.5. Like that stuff was never going to be sustainable. And the ERA is 2.19. It's still brilliant. But hey, the Yankees have suddenly lost four straight starts of his. Part of that, one of those starts actually is on him. The other three, he allowed one run and they just didn't score. He's taken a no decision actually in all four of those starts. But, we saw he showed in July, in late July, early August, that he was human. He has still had a phenomenal season. I mean, he doesn't have a single month. August is his highest ERA for a single month. 3.5. It's phenomenal. So it really is a two-pony race there. Between Schlittler and Cease, just because of the way that modern day voters value certain numbers over others. I mean, Sonny Gray's out here 15-2, and he's your fourth shot on the board at 35-1. I think Sonny Gray should be getting some love with the kind of season that he's been having. The strikeout numbers aren't even close to Schlittler or Cease, but we've seen guys strike out the world and have an ERA north of 4. Sonny Gray, 7 shutty yesterday to make him 15-3. Could have gone an 8th inning, by the way. 7 shutout innings on 86 pitches. Actually had 7 strikeouts, which is pretty good for him. And the ERA is 2.65. So that stuff matters to me. I don't want to, August 16th, I don't really care what his expected ERA is or any of that stuff. You can talk to me about expected ERA in May or June. But August 15th, 16th, no, show me what the actual damn numbers are. And Sonny Gray's numbers are pretty darn good. Let's keep going around baseball. The Rays are about to get swept. And I gave them out yesterday, and it was my favorite bet of the day. It was a 3-4 card for my 7 bets yesterday. Started 0-3, finished 3-1. And I apologize for that Rays best bet, favorite bet. They had shots. They blew it. At least had a shot to push with the -1 when they tied it on a 2-out rally in the bottom of the 9th, sent it to extras. And plain and simple, the Rays just blew it. So very uncharacteristic of this team that had only dropped consecutive games at home 4 times all year, twice in April, twice in June, and now going to get swept by the surging Baltimore Orioles. Watch out for the O's, huh? They're up 10-2, bottom of the 9th here. I mean, they just didn't really put a licking on Freddy Peralta. I mean, but, laborious outing for Peralta, which seems to be every time he takes the bump. 4 2/3, 2 earned, only 1 hit, but 3 walks, 76 pitches in those 4 2/3. I don't know what the hell's happened to that guy this year. It was actually a different former Met, though, that really coughed it up, Steven Matz. And, he's in this swing, occasionally will start, mainly relief role. 2/3 of an inning, 5 earned, couldn't even finish an inning. ERA over 6 for the year. And Matz is, I was going to say former teammate, but I actually don't know if they ever played together. I'm going to check on this. They did. His former teammate, Pete Alonso, got to him. In that big inning, Alonso ripped a double to left. Colton Cowser homered. Everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong for Steven Matz. By the way, Alonso left the game. I hope he's all right. Going to check in on that and see if our incredible producer, who's running the show, keeping me on track, Preston Saya, can maybe get me an update on Alonso. But what a season Alonso's having. I mean, I just talked about like the Mets because they're on right now, and Jared Young just put him up 4-2 with an RBI double. Pete Alonso this year, who David Stern said wasn't worth a 5-year contract, has 27 homers, now 80 RBI. He's like top 6 in the league in runs batted in. And he's hitting .266. OPS is right around .850. Just a completely botched job by David Stearns in this Mets front office to let this guy go. Pete Alonso's been rip-roaring hot, by the way, as the Orioles, who had a disastrous start to the season, find themselves now suddenly making a playoff push. He's hitting 370 in the month of August, guys. 370 in the month of August. His OPS is near 1,100 in August. In July, hit, you know, 260, OPS of 850. Like, Peter Alonso, 950 OPS in June. I would actually love to see Alonso's numbers since, where did he kind of bottom out earlier in the year? On May the 17th, he was hitting 215. I would love to see Alonso's stats. Well, we'll do this later on because we're coming up on a break here. Since May 18th, he has been a beast. I mean, prior to that, I want to say he only had like 5 or 6 home runs the entire year. Maybe 10 prior to May 18th. But since then, he has been one of the best hitters in baseball. And the Baltimore Orioles might be worth a bet, just might be worth a bet, to make the playoffs in that wild race for the wild card in the American League. That sixth seed is wide open. Hey, guys, football's back, and some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. You'll get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, and so much more. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time splits, AI-powered props, and 24/7 video, so you can watch me on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Can the Blue Jays take the lead? We'll find out on the other side. It's Live Bet Sunday with me, Joe Cirillo.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You absolutely hate to see a double play when a team that you bet on has first and third and one out in the bottom of the sixth in a tie game. Alejandro Kirk, so good at putting the ball in play, but when he puts it on the ground, maybe the slowest guy in Major League Baseball, gets doubled up. Ryan Weathers, by the way, you know, so much talk about Dylan Cease and that A block. And obviously, you know, he's a Cy Young contender this year. Ryan Weathers having a great game. Part of my handicap in this one was going with Cease versus Weathers and getting Toronto at nearly a pick 'em price, minus 115, slight shade to the favorite side of things. I was like, absolutely, sign me up. And part of that is that, you know, the Jays don't strike out much. We talked about it yesterday when I took Schlittler under, and he did go over on the hook there. It was 6.5. He got 7. But this is a Blue Jays team that puts the ball in play. I figured against Ryan Weathers, they'd get some hits. They do. They have 5 hits, just one run to show for it, though. But with that, with them putting the ball in play, you know, Dylan Cease, we're going to wait and see if his day is done or if he goes back out for the top of the seventh at 94 pitches. Weathers is through 6 on 75 pitches. I mean, he's gotten into a little bit of trouble, but the guy is cruising on a really efficient, economical low pitch count there. So Ryan Weathers looking equally as good as Dylan Cease. Doesn't have the strikeouts, doesn't have maybe the quote-unquote dominance that Cease displays, but hey, it's a 1-1 game after 6. He's doing everything you could possibly ask for. Don't forget, this is a guy who's probably not going to be in the Yankees' 4-man playoff rotation, assuming everyone is healthy, the likes of Rodon, Fried, Cole, and Schlittler, obviously. So Ryan Weathers doing everything you could ask for, and then some, for the New York Yankees right now, as they are even money, Toronto minus 105, heading in to the latter third of regulation, the top of the seventh inning. Arizona just tied it up in the top of the seventh. Off of Fuentes and Atlanta, D-backs going for a sweep. Going to double check, make sure that's right, but I believe Arizona won yesterday. The Padres, I think, right now are the odd team out, as they dropped one in Cleveland yesterday. Arizona dominated the Braves, 10-3. They're going for a sweep in Atlanta, and they've run out the right pitchers to do so. Brandon Pfaadt outdueled Chris Sale Friday night. Not something you hear too often. By the way, Brandon Pfaadt, keep an eye out every time he's scheduled to pitch. He's maybe the hottest pitcher in baseball since July 1st. He's like 7-0 with a 1-2 ERA. It's unfathomable. Saturday, they had, who was yesterday, Erod on the bump for Arizona, or was yesterday, yesterday was Erod, today Mike Soroka. So Arizona, who wants to see them in the playoffs? Not only are they one of the hottest teams in baseball, But now that their pitching is getting healthy, Brandon Pfaadt has figured it the hell out. Mike Soroka's back off the injured list. He was having a tremendous year before he went down. Erod, it's like the World Baseball Classic has rolled over into the MLB regular season. Who the hell wants to see the Arizona Diamondbacks in the playoffs with that three-headed dragon? Oh, by the way, Corbin Burns not even back. I mean, it's easy to forget he's on Arizona. If he somehow, some way comes back, that's a Cy Young winner. Oh, by the way, Zach Gallen, if he ever regains form, that's an all-star. I mean, they're doing this without Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen. It's the likes of Erod, Soroka, and Brandon Pfaadt carrying this team in terms of their pitching rotation. So Arizona, not a team that you want to see right now as we head towards a playoff race. And their division rival, the San Diego Padres, currently the odd team out. They're underway in Cleveland. No, they've got a rain delay. Casey Mize, the newly acquired Casey Mize, supposed to be on the bump for San Diego, opposite Tanner Bibee, who has had a lot of bad luck this year. I mean, he has not had a great year, don't get me wrong, but the 3.99 ERA, a 3.99 ERA does not constitute a 4-12 record. Tanner Bibee has been his luck has been disastrous for the Cleveland Guardians. Dylan Cease is back out there, and on pitch number 7, strikes out Spencer Jones for his 10th strikeout of the afternoon. He's at 101 pitches, and who just went deep for the St. Louis Cardinals? That game underway a couple of minutes ago. Said it was going to start at noon, started at about 12:15. It's not the World Cup when it comes to start time, guys. They're not as on top of things as FIFA was. Alec Burleson goes deep, 420 feet. Who doesn't love a 420 shot to right field? And not Josh Baez, not yet at least. I don't think he's even taken an at-bat thus far. I'm curious where he's hitting in the lineup today. Where do they have? Imagine it's your second MLB game ever, and you're hitting fifth. Hey, buddy, go out there. It's going to be you and Jordan Walker, the home run derby champ. Walker hitting four, you're hitting behind him, hitting fifth. I mean, this kid, quite literally, no hyperbole, a historic MLB debut yesterday from Josh Baez. 3 home runs in his first 3 at-bats. No one's ever done it. Forget first 3 at-bats. No one's ever done it in their first game. So just a ridiculous, historic, incredible debut against a pitcher in Matt Boyd, who since his return from the injured list, oh, give me a break. Don't tell me. All right, hits off the wall. George Lombard just crushed a double off of Cease on pitch 104. To give the Jays, give the Yankees rather, a guy on second with one out here in the top of the 7th. So we'll see if Cease can stop the bleeding and get out of this unscathed, or if Toronto turns to their bullpen here now that he's at 104 pitches in the 7th. Back to Baez, a historic MLB debut. 3 home runs in his debut, never been done before. Came in his first 3 at-bats against a pitcher, as I was saying before the George Lombard double, in Matt Boyd, who since his return from the injured list, 6-0 with a 2.43 ERA. And Baez says, I don't care. I don't care who you are. I'm up here playing with house money. I had 33 trips around the bags in AAA. I'm going to take 3 more today. Absolutely incredible. Buddy was texting me while I was live on air. He's a big Cardinals fan. Make it make sense. From Connecticut. Big Cardinals fan. And he said, count on the St. Louis Cardinals in 2026 to wait till August 15th to call up a kid with 33 homers in AAA. Pretty damn good point. I mean, why wasn't this guy up in June when the Cardinals were actually in contention for the wild card? They're pretty much out of it now, about 500 in an NL where, in the American League, Cardinals would be vying for maybe the 5 seed. They'd be in firm control of the 6 seed. National League, 500 ain't going to cut it. Dylan Cease's day is done, by the way. Yanks have a guy on second, one out, top of the 7th, and are currently, it's looking like the Yankees minus 115. They've moved into the favorite position here, at least on what I'm looking at on ProfitX. Minus 115 for the Yanks, plus 112 for the Jays. The D-backs I mentioned not too long ago, 7th inning stretch time there, they're plus 170. You can get Atlanta minus 180. Or, of course, with the prediction markets, you can bid anywhere in between. Arizona up to plus 190. I kind of like that. I want to take a piece of that. Atlanta's got the extra at bat. I'm going to sit tight. I'm going to sit tight with my Toronto play in pocket as I'm going to hope this bullpen can get out of this George Lombard on second situation here. with one out. So I'll sit tight. How about Christian Scott for the Mets? They're up 4-2. He's dealing in the top of the seventh. This is a guy who has had really good stuff. He's looked great for the Mets, but he's kind of a 5-6 inning guy. I don't think he's pitched into the seventh too often this year. He's out there against Vivas, full count to start the inning, but only at 83 pitches. And just misses high there. Although, no, was that, okay, Vivas started walking towards the dugout. I was going to say that was ball four, right? Yeah, ball four. Just misses high with what looked like a pretty tight slider at 88. I wasn't sure if that was a cutter or not at first. Red Sox going to make things interesting here, guys. Don't sleep on the Boston Red Sox. I mean, this is a team that was down 7-0 today. Paul Skeens gets scratched. It's a bullpen game for the Pirates, and the Red Sox are going to make things interesting. Despite trailing 7-0, they got a 3-run homer from Sogard, I want to say earlier this inning, and you can get them about 12-13-1 right now. Live. They're down 4 runs in the top of the sixth. Would you take Boston at a price of about 12 or 13-1 to come back? Now down 7-3. They were down 7-0 in Pittsburgh. It's wouldn't be the first massive comeback the Red Sox have executed since they've been the hottest team in baseball for the past 6 to 8 weeks or so. Hey guys, we've got exciting news at VSiN. Our Pro Football Futures Draft is coming up, and VSiN is on the clock for the second straight time. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by your second favorite cashing out host, Dustin Swedelson. Every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use as well. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders, they're all in play here. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, but we've got three newcomers. Sports commentator Nick Buckeye, the guru John Hansen, and how about former standout wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Don't just watch the futures draft. Profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Not sure if that walk was intentional or not. Yeah, it looks like it was. Wow, the Yankees came in and or the Jays brought Little in, rather, the lefty, intentionally walked, didn't see who it was, and Amed Rosario into pinch hit now. They were obviously doing it to get to a lefty-on-lefty matchup here. I'll pull up the Yankees lineup and let you know exactly who it was. So they intentionally walk. Goldschmidt was in to pinch hit for McMahon. So that's why they brought in Little, lefty on lefty with McMahon. They intentionally walk Goldschmidt. Austin Wells, the catcher, is up. They pinch hit Rosario. It's a full count, first and second. We'll see what happens on the other side. I'm Joe Cirillo. It's Live Bet.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have bizarre drama at the Rogers Center right now. A play under review. It's going to be the difference between the Yankees leading 2-1 or 3-1 here. As with first and second and two outs, Caballero, the nine hitter, got an RBI knock to left and then got caught in a rundown, which the Blue Jays' absolute incompetence, it looks like at least the call on the field was failed to tag him, despite the fact that he was on the ground, laying down halfway between first and second. Call on the field was that the tag was over him and missed him. And then if that's the case, another run would score and it would be 3-1 Yankees. Schneider just ran out to challenge and say that McAdoo got him on the ass. So we'll see if he got him on the rear or if he missed. And it'll either be 2-1 or 3-1 Yankees. Count on this. Anytime I have a big bet, naturally, Toronto, just a pretty fundamental team. I mean, the Yankees are the team that lacks fundamentals in this matchup here. Toronto just really, really killing me with this inning here. But let's see if someone else is sweating out anything in this Blue Jays-Yankees game. We're going to head to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in pro sports bettor, MLB expert Rob Donaldson into the show. Rob, sorry for the little delay here, but I am perplexed and frankly PO'd at what's going on in Toronto right now. Did you have anything in this game?
Nothing in that game, but I feel for you. Anytime Caballero's involved in a play, it feels like it's chaos. And, you know, once again, that ends up being the case.
I mean, like, I'm livid right now, man. It was, you know, first and second, two outs. You go to the pen. Now I'm almost like they should have left Cease in, but we'll see. It looks like actually McAdoo might have tagged them. They're still reviewing this. So it would be a 2-1 game heading into the bottom of the seventh, if so. But yeah, still hate to see that they coughed up anything. I know a game you are sweating out is the White Sox Tigers. And we were just laughing about something crazy that happened there. A screamer back at the pitcher, a line drive off the bat of Detroit that the lefty reliever in for Chicago caught with his body. It was like went right into his stomach and then and then into his glove. So what do you got there in that White Sox Tigers game that you're sweating out?
Yeah, you know, I've taken three different stabs in this series on the Chicago White Sox on the full game money line, and the first two paid off. This third one kind of almost felt like the most confident in terms of, you know, the pitching matchup, the bullpen availability for the White Sox, and even just, you know, in terms of kind of the dynamic of being down in a series like this, it can sometimes kind of almost inherently lead to a sweep when you are going up against a division rival in meaningful baseball games. And ultimately, I took that full game White Sox approach yet again. Hagen Smith just got hit with a line drive. He's one of those star pitchers that are coming up from AAA for the White Sox right now. Hopefully he's okay, and it looks like he's okay because he's going to be kind of the focal point, I think, here to cover a couple innings. But ultimately, right now, the White Sox, I think they're in the driver's seat for this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. And it's funny because, you know, you mentioned it, you took it. And it's I think it's the right bet, especially with that starting pitching matchup, even though Burke got mildly touched up there. I was looking at that one, too. The only thing that scared me, and we were talking about this off air, rivalry series, Detroit some way, somehow in the playoff push. And, you know, you have to wonder, are they really going to get swept at home? Sometimes, you know, day three, Sunday, especially, weird things happen on Sundays in Major League Baseball. Yeah. To me, it's probably maybe Wednesday, Thursday, any getaway day is my least favorite, my lesser favorite days to bet. So I stayed away, but I was kind of reading this like you. How are you reading this Cardinals Cubs game? I think the early start for St. Louis is pretty good for you.
Yeah, you know, and it's very similar because although it's not a kind of a very tight divisional race in terms of the Brewers are running away from it, the Cubs have separation from all the other NL Central teams and even separation in terms of the wild card race. But the Cubs are trying to chase the Brewers down. They're still within that mix of potentially just one great run and one bad run from the Brewers could really kind of open the door for the Cubs to win the NL Central. And it kind of feels like right now, looking at the last two games in particular for the Cubs in this series alone, they kind of feel like they're pressing a little bit. And when you do have kind of the pitching staff that the Cubs do, which isn't super dominant, the bullpen isn't super dominant, they just kind of have two key relievers that they rely on. Ultimately, it's the offense that's got to show up. And when you're pressing, when you're in those tight, significant ball games that really need to be won, the offense is typically what suffers. And ultimately, I saw kind of that Joshua Baez call up as maybe a spark plug for the Cardinals. It worked really well. We'll see what happens today. But I tend to think that the Cardinals are going to win this game here, too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. You look at the standings right now. The Cubs are four behind Milwaukee. That's the one seed in the National League. They're currently sitting in the four seed, top wild card, six up on Philly and Arizona. So they're actually closer to the one seed than the five seed is to them right there for hosting a wild card series. I think the Cubs are a dangerous team, but like you said, it feels like they're pressing. And you have to wonder, did Milwaukee's slump and Chicago's chance already happen with the Brewers getting swept in San Diego and the Cubbies really having that shot there? And you mentioned the offense being so important. PCA has gone ice cold. Like, this is a guy who I still think should have a mild edge in National League MVP. It was a pick'em yesterday. It's probably right around a pick'em still today. Otani, if anything, might be slightly favored. But PCA has had a rough week after having an incredible series against the Dodgers. Now, you mentioned Josh Baez. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob. Are you a Cardinals fan or did I misread that?
Big time Cardinals fan, and I've been a big time lover of Joshua Baez going back to 2021 when he got drafted out of high school. He comes to Busch Stadium, takes batting practice, hits a bunch of nukes over the center field wall, and then does an iconic interview that's now getting a lot of run where he basically just said, you know, Mike Trout is the face of baseball. I want to be better than Mike Trout. And, you know, 2 years ago, what's crazy about Joshua Baez's story, 5 years in the minors, 2 years ago, he was in high A with like a 656 OPS, batting 218, not hitting bombs. And it kind of felt like, you know, potentially his career was just going to go down the drain. And ultimately, this past 2 year stretch for him in double A and then triple A to start this year, incredible. Obviously comes up, hits three home runs in his first three at bats. I mean, ultimate dream like scenario. And as a Cardinals fan, yeah, I enjoyed every second of that thing.
That's awesome. I mean, what did you know, quite literally a historic debut from Baez. Speaking of Baez and the three bombs he hit yesterday, we just had a couple bombs right now. Matt Olson, three-run shot to put Atlanta up 5-2 over Arizona. And you'll like the sound of this one. Murakami, a two-run shot at 6-4 White Sox up there in Comerica Park. He's Rob Donaldson, pro better, joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at RobDFB. You do have something, Milwaukee Dodgers. The chance for the Brewers here to take three out of four. Worst case, you leave Dodger Stadium with a split. Not too bad. It's Logan Henderson. It's Tarek Skubal. What do you like for that one in 30 minutes?
Yeah, ultimately, I really love the Brewers money line again. And a large part of that kind of comes down to two different things. One, the Dodgers are just kind of inherently overpriced right now because of the brand, because of the names in their lineup, because of the guy even taking the mound today. Because, you know, Tarek Skubal, he could go out there and he could shove for six or seven innings, give up one or two earned runs. But if that's going to end up being the case, the Brewers can win in those type of low scoring affairs. And ultimately, who slams the door for the Dodgers right now? I mean, Tanner Scott's been getting a lot of run as of late, not as a closer, but probably isn't available for this game. We're going to be running on high pitch counts. And Edwin Diaz just kind of looks like he's broken. So ultimately, I trust the Brewers bullpen more. I trust the Brewers offense more right now. That's kind of one of the least talked about things, is how bad this Dodgers offense has been, just even going back to the start of July. And so ultimately, if you're going to hang a plus 150 or plus 160 out there for the Brewers on the full game money line, I'm going to take that every single day of the week, especially against the way the kind of the Dodgers are running right now.
Yeah, I don't mind it, man. I've got my own plus money play for Milwaukee in that game. I'm on the Henderson K prop, 5.5. This is a guy, I mean, nice. Look, you know, you watch this stuff day to day the same way I do. Not many people do when it comes to baseball in July and August. It's almost inexplicable the way he generates strikeouts and whiffs. Guy doesn't really have a plus breaking pitch, right? It's fastball, changeup, cutter 97% of the time. I mean, I just love the way that he hits his spots and he changes eye level, planes, and velocity. What are your thoughts on Henderson? Because this is really, you know, for all intents and purposes, his rookie season.
I mean, it's the Brewers factory, man, right? Like, and it feels like they're always doing it against the Red Sox, because last year they paid $500,000 for Quinn Priester and he goes out there and performs like an all-star. And, you know, this year it's Logan Henderson. Obviously, Logan Henderson, in terms of prospectability, team control long-term, a much more appealing, you know, acquisition for them comparatively to Quinn Priester. But I mean, he's doing exactly what I expect every single Brewers pitcher to ever do. Come out of complete obscurity, go out there, toss a sub 3 ERA with excellent strikeout stuff and just an excellent game plan every single time. The Brewers are great at that. We'll see if that carries him in October, but I think Henderson's going to be fine long-term in that building.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, he already shoved against the Dodgers, albeit it was a five-inning outing at home back in May. Let's see if he can go to Chavez Ravine opposite Skubal and do it again with all eyes on him. Rob, great stuff, man. Appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
Yep, thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at RobDFB, Rob Donaldson, pro better. Always fun breaking down a busy baseball card with him. We'll do more of it. College football and the NFL right around the corner. So you'll be seeing plenty of Rob on these airwaves. It's Live Bet Sunday. I'm Joe Cirillo. More on the other side.
Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
We keep it rolling. Live Bet Sunday with Joe Cirillo here on VSEN, the sports betting network. A lot of baseball to bet on today. The one game I've got my eyes on right now, Blue Jays Yankees. Toronto currently down 2-1. Believe they're headed to the bottom of the eighth in the Rogers Center. I think this app is behind. I think the Jays are coming up here. Unless, is it still the top of the eighth? It is. Yankees have one on, one out. Not what I like to see. Game's not being shown on my quad box, so maybe it's a pitching change for Toronto would make sense. And it is, and I don't like the looks of it. Paul Sewald is coming in. This is a guy I've seen a lot of, and he's not good. Had like one really good year. Is he the he's making his Blue Jays debut here? Wow. Yeah, I didn't even know Paul Sewald was a Toronto Blue Jay. He had 24 saves this year for Arizona, but an ERA north of 6 in that closer role. D-backs cut him, and he's making his Blue Jays debut. I believe Paul Sewald made an all-star team with Arizona, or maybe it was Seattle in the early 2020s. But he's somehow, this is a guy who I watched for 4 years with the Mets. He had 3 saves in 4 years, was not anything more than a middle reliever, had an ERA collectively with the Mets over 5. And some way, somehow, Paul Sewald has turned in 110 career saves in the bigs. And he gets Heliot Ramos to pop out to shallow center field on his second pitch. So one more out needed. Hopefully he can get out of this inning. You know, I don't know what the hell Schneider's doing, but he went to Brendan Little, who has only pitched 16 games this year. He's been oft injured. He was great last year with an ERA of 3 flat, but his ERA was 9.98. Dude had an ERA of 10, and that's who Schneider went to with a guy on second and one out in the seventh. Little gives up the inherited runner, so it's a knock on Cease's ERA. And then in a one-run game going for a sweep against the Yankees, when you're tied for the final wild card spot and every game counts for the next 6 weeks, you go Little with an ERA of 10 and Sewald with an ERA of 6.25. Those are your guys you bring in a one-run or a tied and then a one-run game. I would call that piss-poor managing. That's just me. But yeah, that's questionable, I think, would be too kind on Schneider. I would call that piss-poor managing from John Schneider here in a high-stakes divisional game. Yeah, Paul Sewald claimed Wednesday off waivers from Arizona, making his team debut here. 0-1 count to the cleanup hitter, Trent Grisham. He jams him. Is it going to get to the outfield? It's not. I don't know if that was caught in midair from the shortstop or if it bounced because he stepped on second. It was hard to see. But Sewald in 4 pitches gets out of the inning, and I can at least momentarily breathe here. White Sox are still up in the top of the seventh. First and second, 2 outs. They're up 6-4 now. Atlanta looking to add on, but they won't. They head to the ninth, up 5-2. Raisel Iglesias in for the Braves. The Mets hold a 4-3 lead. They got out of it in the top of the seventh. It's the top of the eighth. Nationals are up. 1 out, none on. 1-2 count to Lyle, the center fielder. And it is Duarte pitching for the Mets. Everyone knows Duarte, right? It's amazing. Post-trade deadline, the Mets unleashed everyone, right? Brooks Raley, Luke Weaver, Wascar Brazoban. I mean, AJ Minter to Minnesota a couple days before the deadline. Completely new look, no name team. You don't know who the hell these pitchers are except for Jeffrey Yan, because right now he's one of the better stories in Major League Baseball. Guy pumps 100 from the left side, and it took him over a decade to find his way to the bigs. Just got his first win the other night. If you don't enjoy that, there's something wrong with you. But this team is full of no names, especially this bullpen and the pitching staff. You got guys like Rob Stock starting. You got Lavender and Duarte and Yan. And oh, by the way, they're 8-3 in their last 11, looking to make it 9 out of 12. That's baseball, Susan. Go figure. I mean, it is really remarkable. Now, I saw someone tweet today, and it was obviously, you know, a tweet for attention, that the Mets are quietly positioning themselves in the wild card race. I believe they're 11 out. If it was the American League, yeah, they'd be 5 out, which still is not great. But they've got the 5th worst record in baseball. If you take a flyer with 6 weeks to go on the Mets to make the playoffs, shame on you. Don't take the bait. That tweet was all about bait. No edumacated gambler would ever do such a thing. So that's a live action. Miami, by the way, 0-0. Pitcher's duel out there between Yuri Perez and Nick Lodolo in Cincinnati. Not the first pitcher's duel this series. I believe they had an early start time on Friday, and it was the Chase Burns-Sandy Alcantara 1-0 game. I love a game like that, especially with Burns and Alcantara. You know, most years Chase Burns would be in on the Cy Young race, but Mizorowski and Chris Sale and Christopher Sanchez have all been so sensational, and their teams get more press and publicity, and they're in playoff spots, and Chase Burns kind of gets forgotten about. But he has maybe had a better year than Christopher Sanchez. He's been phenomenal for the Cincinnati Reds, just like Mizorowski in year two of his young career. Chase Burns, the product of Naples, Italy. Little trivia for you today. Chase Burns, very, very white or very American sounding name. I believe he's mixed. I believe he's black and white. But a guy named Chase Burns, born in Naples, Italy, pitching for the Cincinnati Reds right there. This Nobleton loves him right there. Already one of my favorites for that reason. I actually believe that when I was in Naples, I gave out a bet for VSiN on social media on Chase Burns last summer in 2025. Let's look ahead to some of the baseball games that are going to be getting underway here shortly. Padres, Guardians, nothing for me there. Casey Mize opposite Tanner Bibee, still in a rain delay. We've got Rockies, Giants in about 15 minutes. Who's pitching for Colorado? Is that Gavin Hughes on the bump? Gabriel Hughes. Sometimes you try to guess a guy's first name because let's be honest, no one knows who Gabriel Hughes is with his 5.5 ERA and 33 innings of work for Colorado. If your family's watching, I apologize. I mean, even guys who know the nitty-gritty of this stuff probably are like, hey, who's Gabriel Hughes? Blade Tidwell, former Met prospect going for the Giants. It's the only reason I know who he is because he was in that Trevor Rogers deal, or Tyler Rogers, rather, last year at the deadline. He's making his third start of the season. Got a sub-2.8 ERA so far. Small sample size. San Fran, a -130 favorite going off against Colorado. Nothing for me there. I lean Giants, but, you know, Gabriel Hughes versus Blade Tidwell. They have a combined 56 and a third innings this year in Major League Baseball. Nothing I'm looking to get in on there. Slight lean towards the Rangers. They're a better road team than home team with Corey Bradford on the bump opposite Lopez, who's been getting shelled this year for the A's. Jacob Lopez, let me pull up his splits. At home, that ERA up near 6. On the road, he's 5-1. It's just a hair under 5. At home, it's 5.87. He's 0-3. I lean Texas there. Minus, what are we looking at? A -120. Giants, you can get -122. Rangers, -120. Royals, Angels. Again, it's a lean towards the Kansas City side. Noah Cameron. Really interesting numbers for Noah Cameron. He has a better record at home, but the ERA and the other numbers are atrocious. So let's pull these splits up because I want to be accurate with them. Splits are going to play a big piece in some other plays today too. Brian Wu on the bump for Seattle. We all know what his home and away splits are. And the man should not be allowed to pitch outside of T-Mobile Park. So Noah Cameron at home is 5-3, but his ERA is 5.2. On the road, his ERA is 3.78, but he's 1-5. Make it make sense. Significantly better on the road, but he's 1-5. Stinks at home, but he is 5-3 for the Royals. So I don't know, that lack of run support kind of makes me approach this one with a little bit of trepidation here. Probably not going to get in on it. Ryan Johnson, 6'6 righty. A lot of the baseball nerds, and I don't use that. Sometimes I use that in an insulting way. I don't mean it in this way. I mean the guys who like live and breathe and eat this stuff love him. ERA is up near 7. His stuff certainly is better than what his stats would indicate. I lean Noah Cameron and the Royals in this one. You can get over 5.5 strikeouts for Cameron. You're going to have to lay some juice, maybe 30 cents or so. But what's his Ks per 9 this year? It's up over 8, almost a whole strikeout per 9 better than it was a year ago. Only 2 his last time out. Before that, though, 9, 7, 8, only 1, 9, 7. Over 5.5 strikeouts is intriguing. I don't love the juice for Cameron. But, you know, the Angels do strike out at the highest clip in Major League Baseball. Let me see Profit X what they've got for Cameron. Now it got even juicier, -150 for 5.5. So stay away there. But those are the games where the leans are Rangers, Giants, Royals, all priced in the -115 to -120 range. Let's get to the best bet before we get to the break. 40 seconds, one best bet, and it's Logan Henderson over 5.5 strikeouts at +110 at Dodger Stadium. This Dodgers lineup doesn't seem to scare Logan Henderson. Nothing really seems to faze Logan Henderson this year. His K numbers are up. In his last 10 starts, he's averaging over 11 Ks per 9. That's since May 1st. Spent a little time on the shelf there. Already had 7 against the Dodgers at home. Now he's at Dodger Stadium. He's opposite Skubal. Let's see if he can keep to what he does best, mixing and matching velo, eye level. He's a fastball changeup cutter guy. Doesn't have a biting sweeper. Uses it like 2% of the time. Doesn't need it so far. Let's see what Henderson's got. I'm taking over 5.5 Ks at plus money at Dodger Stadium.